From the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Monday, July 29th. I'm Abby Larico. By repealing a moratorium, Illinois recently cleared the way for small modular nuclear reactors.
There's a lot of excitement in Illinois about the future of nuclear, but that moratorium that had been in place was keeping any real possibilities from being tangible.
St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke checks in on where nuclear energy might be headed in Illinois and Missouri. That's coming up on The Gateway. Nearly a week since a judge ordered his immediate release, lawyers for Christopher Dunn are asking the Missouri Supreme Court to reject Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey's efforts to keep Dunn in jail. Now, Bailey has until 5 p.m. today to respond. Dunn has been in custody for more than 33 years. A jury convicted him of murder and assault in 1991, but last week a St. Louis judge found Dunn innocent and overturned his conviction. Bailey asked the Supreme Court to keep Dunn in jail, a request the court granted within moments of Dunn's anticipated reunion with loved ones outside the state prison Wednesday. Dunn's lawyers from the Midwest Innocent Project told the high court that the attorney general's actions are illegal. The St. Louis Public School System announced Friday that Superintendent Keisha Scarlett is taking a leave of absence. As St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin reports, her move comes less than a month before the new school year is set to begin.
The school board described Scarlett's departure as a temporary leave. Board leaders declined to comment further, calling it a personnel matter. Former Deputy Superintendent Millicent Borichade is now the acting leader of St. Louis Public Schools. The transition should be smooth, according to Byron Clemens, a spokesperson for the teachers' union.
The deputy superintendent has been, you know, the point person for running the district as it is right now.
The leadership change, even if temporary, comes as the district faces acute challenges recruiting enough bus drivers, repairing crumbling buildings, and balancing its budget. The first day of school is August 19. I'm Jeremy Goodwin, St. Louis Public Radio.
Donald Trump is offering a coveted endorsement in Missouri's gubernatorial race to all three major Republican candidates. The former president released a statement Saturday praising Senator Bill Eigel, Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft, and Lieutenant Governor Mike Kehoe for their career history and support of the Trump platform. He advised voters to choose any of the three as, quote, "you can't go wrong." Trump similarly offered a split endorsement in 2022 for Eric when then-Attorney General Eric Schmidt and former Governor Eric Greitens were both vying to be the party's candidate for U.S. Senate. Washington University will continue to offer psychiatric treatment and other care to transgender patients, according to a university spokeswoman. That's after a former worker of WashU's Transgender Center claimed it was shutting down. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fenton reports.
The Washington University Transgender Center is not a single physical location, but instead a collection of providers. It continues to offer full care for transgender adults, but its treatments for minors have been curtailed since last year. That's when a law banning Missouri doctors from providing hormone therapy, puberty blockers, or surgeries to those under 18 went into effect. Former caseworker Jamie Reed, an outspoken critic of the center, wrote in a recently published opinion piece in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch that the center would soon shut down. Reed says she thinks the center is disbanding because of staffing changes. WashU spokeswoman Julie Flory said WashU will continue to offer services to minors that are still permitted by law. I'm Sarah Fenton, St. Louis Public Radio.
The effort to consolidate two small Metro East school districts has failed. The Belleville News-Democrat reports Venice and Madison, Illinois, will not go forward with a proposed merger. A majority of the Venice school board did not support the move at a meeting last week. It's unclear what the Madison board concluded. However, both needed to support the effort to advance. Proponents said consolidating the two districts would reduce overhead costs, increase financial stability, and improve the school's academic and athletic opportunities for students. Leaders for both school districts and boards could not immediately be reached for comment. Metrolink is stepping up its police presence in the Metro East. Transit operator Bi-State Development announced a new partnership with four area police departments for additional patrols. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports.
Belleville, Fairview Heights, Shiloh, and Swansea's police departments will allow their officers to take up the extra duty. It's a voluntary agreement reached with Bi-State and the St. Clair County Transit District, who will cover overtime pay. Bi-State's General Manager of Security, Kevin Scott, says these additional patrols will improve safety.
We will never stop trying to add law enforcement presence on the system, and we'll continue to be creative in expanding this very model that's starting here in St. Clair County across the river and across the system.
These officers will focus on the platforms and the station's parking lots. They are in addition to full-time teams that already patrol the light rail cars. In Fairview Heights, I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
Missouri's only nuclear power plant is turning 40 this year. St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke takes us inside the plant to find out how nuclear energy might evolve in coming years in Missouri and Illinois.
The Callaway Nuclear Plant's cooling tower rises above the mid-Missouri horizon, releasing a cloud of water vapor into the sky. This is Missouri's only electricity-generating nuclear reactor. It's a humid day, and you can actually hear static on the lines as power heads to homes and businesses. Warren Witt is the plant manager here. He says most power plants work the same.
So bottom line is you get something to spin, and you connect a generator on to the end of it, you can generate electricity.
We step off an elevator into a giant room with huge, loud machines.
The turbines are rotating, they make noise, the generator makes noise. The other thing is the steam flowing through these pipes makes noise too.
A fossil fuel plant burns coal or gas to create steam to rotate turbines. But here, they split uranium atoms. Last year, this plant created enough electricity to power about 800,000 homes. That's about a quarter of Ameren's 2023 electricity. And all of that nuclear power was carbon-free. There's a big push for nuclear right now, mostly because it doesn't emit greenhouse gases. The U.S. and more than a dozen other countries recently pledged to triple this source of energy by 2050 at a global climate conference. Nuclear is a core component of the Biden-Harris administration's climate agenda, says Catherine Huff, the former Assistant Secretary for Nuclear Energy at the Department of Energy.
Nuclear power runs 24/7 regardless of the weather, and it rarely needs to be shut down for refueling, which means it provides an extra level of resilience to the grid, where other variable sources of renewable energy need a backup.
Huff left her federal position in May to return to teaching at the University of Illinois. While Missouri just has Callaway, Illinois has more nuclear plants than any other state. A recent Illinois law also repealed a nuclear moratorium, clearing the way for future small modular reactors.
There's a lot of excitement in Illinois about the future of nuclear, but that moratorium that had been in place was keeping any real possibilities from being tangible.
Witt says Ameren is keeping an eye on the new technology, too.
That's the big unknown of how much it costs and how long it takes to build it. Once some of those bugs are worked out and the technology is proven, I think not too long after that, you'll see Ameren building.
Despite all the hype around nuclear, there are plenty of downsides, says Edwin Lyman, director of nuclear power safety at the Union of Concerned Scientists. One of the biggest is cost.
It's simply too expensive compared to the alternatives, both with regard to fossil fuels, but also increasingly it's not competitive with renewable energy like wind and solar.
Lyman worries about other risks, like the potential for catastrophic accidents or sabotage from terrorist groups. Plus, nuclear power generates long-lived radioactive waste that has to be stored safely somewhere. The federal government is responsible for spent nuclear fuel. But after years of collecting money for a storage fund, the government still doesn't have a plan. In the meantime, the utility companies have to just keep that fuel next to their plants. Behind caution tape, a radiation protection technician holds a clicking instrument. Workers at the Callaway plant are doing something they only do every few years. They're moving spent uranium fuel. It's a slow process. After cooling off for years in a deep pool of water, the fuel is now in big concrete and lead containers. Shannon Gatis is a manager here.
Yeah, so see what you're looking at now is, it's like a can in a koozie.
Workers use a crane to lower the canister into a hole in the ground, next to rows of identical spent fuel casks. This pad is running out of open space. It will be full in 2027. After that, Ameren will have to come up with a new plan. I'm Kate Grumke, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Brian Moline edited that piece. To see photos from inside the Callaway nuclear plant, go to stlpr.org. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.